everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Everyone, welcome. Thanks for listening. I have a wonderful program for you today. Today's show is all about how to restore family relationships over the holidays. And listeners, I know you're thinking, oh no, it's that time of the year again. The holidays are coming up, and it's such a stressful time for you because it means spending time with the family. In fact, a national poll shows that 40% of people struggle to cope during time spent with family over the holidays, and one in five feel compelled to act like everything is fine, even when it's not. So my guest today is here to discuss why the holidays are so stressful with family, and then how to change the holiday experience. My guest today is Dr. Janice Webb. She's a psychologist with over 25 years of experience. Her new book, published last month, is called Running on Empty No More, and focuses on healing relationships that were affected by childhood emotional neglect. Dr. Webb argues that childhood emotional neglect occurs when a family doesn't notice or attend to the emotions of its members. And when this occurs, the holiday experience with family is stressful and challenging. Dr. Webb specializes in dealing with CEN, or childhood emotional neglect, and has been interviewed on NPR and more than 30 different podcasts and radio shows. She also writes a blog for psychcentral.com about CEN and created Fuel Up for Life, an online CEN recovery program. So welcome to the program, Dr. Webb. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry. I'm very happy to be here.
And I know I flubbed your name up. So tell me again how to say your first name.
It's Janice, like Denise, but with a J.
Janice. You know, I cannot do names very well. So I always have to apologize to guests. Janice. So I'm going to try to get it right, Janice, but just correct me if I don't say it correctly again.
So now, believe me, my name is usually mispronounced, so I've heard everything in that regard.
Janice,
it's all good.
Janice. Oh, I'm so glad. So now, before we get started on the topic of why the holidays with families are so uncomfortable, what inspired you to first become a psychologist?
Well, that's I have a sort of a funny answer to that question. I think that I was totally born to be a psychologist. I just can't imagine that I would have had any other career. And in fact, I grew up on a farm in the middle of Oklahoma where there was no psychologist within hundreds of miles, I'm sure. But when I was about 10, I became literally addicted to a TV show called The Bob Newhart Show.
I loved that show.
He played a psychologist who lived in Chicago, and you followed him through his life. And of course, it was very funny. But as a kid, I thought, I told my mom when I was about eight years old, I told her that I wanted to be a psychologist and live in a big city in a high-rise apartment building. So,
wow, just like him.
Yeah. I do not live in a high-rise, but I am a psychologist and I live in a big city. So,
what city do you live in, or what state?
I live in Boston.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So that's so interesting, Janice, because I knew very early in my life, too, that I wanted to become a psychologist. But, you know, I grew up in a very therapy-oriented household. My father's a psychiatrist. My mother's a therapist. My sister's a therapist. So, and I grew up in a city, Minneapolis. So we had very similar experiences in terms of wanting to be a psychologist. But how, or the impetus to do that, was so different.
Yeah, that's interesting. You grew up surrounded by it. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Oh, all, I mean, I grew up probably saying why before I said mom or dad.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
But I knew very early as well. So what types of clients do you work with?
Well, at this point, I have a private practice in Lexington, Massachusetts, which is just a suburb of Boston. And it's basically I specialize with couples, and I see families, and I see individuals. I spent years treating adolescents. Now I tend more towards helping parents with their adolescents. So I see a whole mixture. And over time, since I wrote my book and my first book and started my blog and all of that, most people, many people that I see are, you know, coming in saying that they want help with their childhood emotional neglect because they've read my stuff or they've heard me talk or whatever. So, so I end up focusing on my topic a lot in my practice, which I enjoy
very much.
So
help us understand them, because listeners are probably confused. You know, they hear childhood emotional neglect and they don't know what it is. So help us understand, or help listeners understand, what is CEN?
Yes. So childhood emotional neglect, it sounds like it's a terrible thing, but it's actually only terrible in its effects. It doesn't seem terrible when it's happening, and in fact, it can be very invisible. And many people grew up with this and have no idea, no memory of it. And the reason is because it's the definition is just when parents fail to respond enough to the child's emotional needs. So when this happens, when a child has a feeling and the parent doesn't notice and doesn't respond to that emotion, or even worse, just avoids the child because the emotion is unpleasant for the parent or that kind of thing, the child really gets a very loud and clear message, and that is your feelings don't matter.
And so give us an example. Like, I'm thinking about, you know, my childhood, or, you know, I'm a parent of two teens. Would I know as a parent that my child really is expressing anger or frustration or sadness, and I just ignore it?
Well, I think no parent can catch every emotion their child has, nor should any parent try. It's not about that. It's about being aware enough so that emotions are part of what you attend to in your child. I mean, if you think about it, you can't really know your child unless you know your child's emotional responses to things. And most emotions in kids are very, even teenagers and young adults, they're pretty obvious. If you're really looking for it, you will see what your child feels. And then if you respond to it by saying, are you having a rough day? What happened today? Or you're looking kind of angry. Is it, you know, something that happened earlier? Just check it out with the child and respond to it. When parents do that with their children, they're teaching them all kinds of important things, like that their emotions matter, that there are names for them, for their emotions, that they can talk about their emotions and how to use their emotions. And those are all skills that are very, very useful in life.
Oh, that's so good. You know, I remember back to when my kids were young, Janice, and, you know, they have those faces with lots of different emotions. And I remember going over them with my children, you know, this is sadness. When do you think you experience sadness? So recognizing and having children understand that there are different emotions seems extremely important as well. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, yes. I think that, I mean, that just sounds like emotional education, which is great.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I think so. It's even better if you can catch it. Oh, sorry, what?
I didn't even remember that I did that with my kids. But you're saying if you can even catch it while it's happening, it's even better.
Yes, right. In the moment is the best time to teach a child about their feelings.
And so how is CEN connected to what people are feeling or experiencing over the holidays? How are the two connected?
Well, this sort of unattending to emotion that happens in a family sort of becomes the family way. It becomes the family mandate is, you know, you talk about things and you let people see the parts of you that make sure everyone stays comfortable. Like, don't let any emotions show too much because that will make people uncomfortable. Don't talk about your real, genuine struggles because that will make people uncomfortable. So it's kind of like this unspoken, unconscious mandate to be a certain way that comes along with emotional neglect as it plays out in a family. And when you're going to be with your family and some part of you knows that you have to hide a big part of who you are just to get through, it's pretty hard to enjoy yourself during that.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think we're told that even as a society, Janice, that, you know, over the holidays, you're going to get together with your family, you know, at dinner or other kinds of gatherings. And so just talk, chit chat, don't show any emotions or talk about any of your struggles. Do you think we get that message in general as well as from our families?
Oh, yes, I really do. I really think so. I think that's changing, though, as we do more research on emotion and we learn more about neurology and how the human body is wired and what emotions are, why we really have them, you know, why human beings even have them. We're learning so much more, and I hope that this is going to change, but you probably wouldn't have asked that question unless you see that, too.
Yes, right. I definitely see that. Yeah. I definitely see that from clients and students and people I work with, that they're getting the message not only from their families, as you're saying, but also from society that it is a time where you just come and you talk about sports and the weather, but not topics about, you know, you're struggling or I'm having an issue or I'm unhappy at all. And I agree with you. I think we do a disservice to ourselves as well as to our families by listening to those messages.
Yeah, now, I mean, it makes it feel just empty. If it feels kind of empty when you're with your family and you're not sure why, that is a really... Or if you feel annoyed with your parents and you can't figure out why, those are two big indicators that you're in an emotionally neglectful family.
But I was just about to ask you that, Janice. So how do I know if I'm in a family that is avoiding emotions and you know, I'm experiencing CEM? So you're saying one would be that I feel a vacuum or I feel empty. Is that what you said?
Yeah, just the sort of an empty, like boredom, empty bored feeling when you're with your family. Or if you feel irritated with your parents and you can't understand why. Those are two really good signs. But if you also just sort of have a squelched feeling, like you don't really want to be there, but I think the not being able to figure out why. You know, if you have something really bad going on in your family, it's pretty obvious why you might not want to be there. But if that's not the case and you're confused by your feelings, there's a very good chance, I think, that it's childhood emotional neglect playing its part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so those are really three good indicators, three good signs that listeners can attend to when they're with their families to see whether or not they've experienced childhood emotional neglect. So let's say I'm at the dinner table and I recognize, given what you just said, that I've experienced childhood emotional neglect. How do I change my holiday experience? What are the ways that I can restore my family relationships?
Well, there's getting through the family gathering, and then there's fixing the relationship. So one is much more short term, and then the other takes a lot more work. But you know, obviously, but some small things that you can do during your holiday experience, if this describes your family, is the first thing that I recommend is break some family rules.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's
risky. I heard listeners go, whoa, right? I like that though. Okay, so what does that mean?
It means just thinking more about yourself and less about what you're supposed to do. And if that means getting up and taking care of yourself, you know, going into another room for a little bit, hanging out with the kids, or, you know, sitting next to your husband or wife or a certain person that you feel comfortable with versus going and forcing yourself to make small talk with someone that's not rewarding. Just do what is going to make you enjoy being there more.
I like that. That's really good. So if I'm sitting there and I'm not feeling comfortable, I can break the rules. I can get up. I can go into another room. I can go outside and take a walk and come back. Or you even suggested I can go sit next to someone who I feel more comfortable with so that I'm breaking the rules of just sitting there as I used to, you know, every single year in the past. I like that. So break the rules, listeners. Excellent. What else could I do?
So the second thing you can do is change how you're interacting. Now, these seem like small things, but they have ripple effects in your family. They may not, you know, the rest of your family won't understand what's going on, but it just shifts the dynamic a little bit. So what I mean by change how you interact is focus yourself on having a real conversation with someone this year. And by real, I mean more emotionally real. So for example, you have an uncle that you heard is going through a divorce and he's there without his wife and no one mentions it to him because everyone wants it all to be upbeat and happy, right? It's the holidays and this is how the family operates anyway. So go up to that uncle and say in a very real way, I heard you're going through some changes. How's it going? And that's going to just form this immediate connection that would never have happened otherwise.
Oh, or I love that story, by the way. I think that's a great story to share as an example, because someone in our family over the holidays is going to be experiencing something challenging or that they're struggling with. So if we can identify that and have that real conversation, that not only is going to help that person, but it's going to help us, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. And it just slightly changes the mood of everything. It's ever so slight in the big picture, but it makes a difference. And another part of what I discovered in this holiday poll is that it's young adults are the ones who feel this the most, that they are supposed to hide what they're actually going through in their lives and act like everything is great. So if you can make an emotional a real connection with a young adult in your family, that's even better, just in case they're one of the ones that feels this way.
Now, why do you think young adults are experiencing more childhood emotional neglect or are struggling over the holidays?
Well, I can only surmise, but I would say that it's probably because they're in the process of launching themselves and trying to establish their careers, and everyone's curious about how they're doing. There's a lot of pressure on you when you're a young adult to tell people, oh, this is happening, I'm doing that, you know, everything's great. So, you know, that would be my guess.
Oh, I agree with you, actually, Denise. I talk to my students all the time about loneliness, and the age group that is most lonely, studies show, is that teen or college student age group, you know, about 15 to 21. Because as you said, they're finding themselves. They're figuring out who they are and what they want to be and what they want to present to others. And so when people are asking that question even to them, I think most get the sense that they can't say anything. I don't know yet, or I have no idea. And so to have that emotional connection with someone over the holidays in that age group, I think would be wonderful. That's such a great suggestion. I love it. So we have two really good ways to restore our family relationships or change the holiday experience. You said break rules and change how you interact. Are there any other strategies that we can use?
Yes, there's one more that's really, really important, and this is the biggest one, and it seems really, it seems like it wouldn't make a difference, but it makes a huge difference, and that is to pay attention to what you are feeling while you're there, and mm-hmm. I suggest try to identify at least three feelings that you have during your family gathering, and the reason to do that is because the message that you've received your whole life is don't pay attention to your own feelings. So when you do that, you are breaking, it's another way to break the rules, but it's very individual, so no one even knows that you're doing it, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that you know you're doing it, and you are violating the mandate of the emotionally neglectful family in a very healthy way. That's one of the huge steps of recovery from childhood emotional neglect is to start rediscovering your own emotions. So it's all good.
It's very good. And when you say pay attention, should I write them down? Should I tell someone else or just individually know the emotions that I'm feeling?
Whichever of those works for you, if you can talk with your partner about this before you go or a sibling you're close to, and, you know, you can do it together or you can report to each other. You can not tell anyone and you can just enter it into your phone or you can just identify it in your own head. It really doesn't matter. What matters is just doing it.
Right. And so break the rules, change how you interact, and then pay attention to what you're feeling, at least three emotions. So now, any other advice, Janice, for listeners as they begin to prepare and anticipate holiday family gatherings? And we only have a few minutes left.
I would say, really, it all comes down to focusing more on yourself and on how your experience, on your own experience. And try to tune out all the pressure because I think this comes up a special lot around the holidays just because mm-hmm. of all the pressure to be happy and be joyous. So I think trying to tune all of that out and instead focus on finding what you actually feel and improving that is really the best key to having a happier holiday.
I think that is wonderful advice. And your latest book, Running on Empty No More, where can listeners find it? And is there more about CEN in the book?
The whole book is about repairing CEN and sort of naming the elephant in the room, calling it childhood emotional neglect for yourself and possibly family members too. So the whole book is about this, and it's available pretty much everywhere, I think. It's in bookstores, it's online. I think it's pretty easy to find.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Janice. I loved talking to you. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Janice Webb, JoniceWebb, her new book, Running on Empty No More, her blog on psychcentral.com, go to drjanicewebb.com. Also, you can connect with her on Facebook at Janice.web or on Twitter at JWEBBPHD. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships always be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand. Also, I have a new video online course that's called How to Find Love in 7 Days. So if you're interested in finding the right person for you, even over the holidays, check it out on my website under courses. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.